Well, you could calm down. Relieving stress from the weekend, it's always stress for me.
Not just us, because we're able to talk about it, but we have our fans at home who can hear our opinions.
The cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Cool down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Cool down.
Cool down.
Cool down. There we go. Well done, guys. That was nicely played. For everyone joining us tonight, we'll be covering a couple of topics, mainly two actually topics. I say a couple because that is two. Am I correct in saying that? Also, we've got Bwanga Ding in the house and we've got Selo, Lolo, Kala in the house. Gentlemen, say hello.
How's it, guys? How's it, guys? How's it, guys?
How's it, chits?
The ever reliable yeah. Bwanga Denga.
Hey, always. Between the two of you, I think Wonga's attendance record for the cooldown is higher than yours, Selo, although you've got 100% attendance record on the Thursdays.
Pretty much, Muti. You know, that's my day. That's my day. That's the day I look forward to just before the weekend, just to stretch my legs, you know. You know, Tuesday's the first. I'm still a bit tired for the weekend.
Still a bit stiff. You don't warm down properly. That's why we have the cooldown. That's why you use the show. I see Wonga's got his Arsenal scarf around his neck as he's feeling positive before the preseason. Am I correct in saying that?
I'm wearing Man United track pants, so I can't really be, you know, just let me try.
Hey, hide that thing from us. We don't want to be seeing that.
Arsenal, you can't feel confident with what Arsenal. I'm just wearing that just to show that I'm obviously still supporting them, but I don't know what they're doing at the moment.
But you guys have a new signing, man. Some young kid from Belgium. He seems like he's definitely, I think, one of the more highly rated players in Belgium. I saw him wearing a captain armband for Anderlecht, so he must.
So I'm just, for me, again, I'm going to, like I did last season, I'm not going to expect the world from them. In fact, I didn't do that last season. I think I should this season.
You managed your expectations just really well.
I need to manage them much better now. Okay, see the signings coming in. I think maybe Ben White is a bit expensive. We'll have to see again that. But I think there is direction, but I think we still need to get a bit more people in.
But you know the Ben White thing, man. It's not that it's expensive now. It's because last season, Leeds tried to sign him because he was on loan at Leeds when they were still in the championship. So Leeds tried to sign him for £30 million and it was rejected, right?
Yes.
So it was rejected for £30 million. So you can see they rejected for £30 million because I think they were looking for £40 million, right, a season ago. And I think now with him being picked for England and having a season in the Premier League, his price has gone up by £10 million, you know. So I think it has been consistent with what Brighton have wanted from clubs that wanted him. Yes, it's the English Premiership premium, man. It's the English premium, man. It's the player
An English player
within the Premier League under the age of 25. You got to pay over and above what probably his market value is. Probably his market value is £30 million, but you have to pay the 50, man, because there are other teams that want him. Definitely.
Yeah, that's true. I think Man United wanted him also.
Man United were looking at him, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I think at £50 million is a step too far, man.
Not for Arsenal.
I think, maybe it does. Like I said, we'll see. Because maybe that shows how badly Arteta wanted the guy in his team. You know, maybe he wanted him specifically for a specific reason. And we can only see. I can only judge when he plays a couple of games, but yeah, he's not a toxic player. He's not really paid £15 million for someone who's absolutely garbage. He has quality,
he's good. Like, man. I said, he's very good. We'll have to watch. He's very good on the ball. Yeah,
And he can play center. He can play defensive mid, and he can play right back as well.
Exactly.
But what's interesting about this whole thing is, sure, they're asking for £50 million, but now apparently they're being linked with Liverpool's Nat Phillips for £15 million as a replacement for him. And I find that bizarre because Brighton are a side who are ball-playing side, who like playing out from the back. But and Nat Phillips, that's not his game. He would do better at Burnley.
But wait, you said how much? 50 million, Claudio, 15
one
or 15?
1-5.
But the fact, you see, this is where the injury crisis did Liverpool a favor. The fact that that player, Nat Phillips, is going for 1-5 million pounds is incredible. It's one of those things where the guy got a good run. He put in some good performances. Yeah.
That's a rip-off because they can get Kabak for that same price or less. Because I hear
not even it's
less,
it's 8.5 now. They've dropped they dropped the asking price
because they got relegated. Yeah. They got relegated from Bundesliga. So imagine 8.5 for Kabak, and I think that's Leicester who want to get him. So I think if Brighton were to be clever, they'll try get him to play for Brighton. You know what I mean? Or I also heard a bit of West Ham. West Ham are also looking at him. West Ham do need a decent centre back to come in. That would be actually a good signing for West Ham. Pumas is asking you there, Wanga.
So with Hector,
what's happened with the fashionista?
Hey, Pumas, how's it? Yeah, firstly, how's it, Pumas? And
what's good, Pumas? What I heard was to have you here again.
Sure, Pumas.
What I heard was Inter were looking for. They've been inquiring about Bellerin for quite a while. Arsenal put their foot down and said no. But now Bellerin has handed in a request. He's actually formally asked the club to leave.
Yeah.
And so obviously Arsenal have, the words they use was soften their approach to that now. So I think they're allowing talks to happen between Bellerin and Inter. But it looks like Arsenal wanted to, I don't know, was it Arsenal and them wanted to first, I think Arsenal wanted to loan him out and then put something with a buy at the end. But it seems, I don't know. I think they said Inter Milan are obviously willing to purchase the guy. And I think, look, Bellerin has, Bellerin has done what he can do at Arsenal. I think if a player like him, you're not going to be loaning him. I think let him go. I think especially if he's asked to leave the club. Yeah. I think, you know, it's best you let the guy go. I think he's had his best days already at the club. And I wouldn't, I mean,
I think he's limited, man. As a fullback, he's limited. Like, he's not the greatest at going forward and he's not the greatest at defending. So, and that's just my personal opinion. So, if you want to get into the next level, the next echelon, like Nick loves saying, in terms of competing for something, that player, in my opinion, he's had his day in the sun at a club like Arsenal. And maybe it is. Yeah. It's time for greener pastures for
him. But I think he is a good second option. Do you know what I mean? And I think also if you're playing a back three, he's a very good wing back. So I think, yes, his best football was probably before he had his injury, the cruciate ligament injury. But I think in a back three, him as a wing back can definitely add some good stuff. But I think him going to a Milan, you know, a fashion capital. You know, Bellerin can only play in fashion capitals. Only perfect. Fashion capital, Milan. You know, you go from London to Milan. Milan Fashion Week. It's perfect. You know what I mean? So either there or like a Paris. You know what I mean? So those are the only places I think he could fit in with his personality as well.
So like Bellerin, I heard the guy is he's literally. I mean, he doesn't hide it as well. You know, and the people saying that you know that he's a fashion whatever, but he's literally come out and said, you know, that's his other love. You know, and that's fair enough. You know, you can have other passions besides the job that you do. The soccer's out there, he's getting paid for it. He's famous for it, but he says the other passion he has is his. I think it's his art. You know, his love for art. And I think that's where you're obviously getting him expressing himself and those opinions. He says he goes and he also, I mean, because of the way the guys, their life is structured, they've got a lot of free time in the afternoon. So he says and it makes sense. I mean, it's quite impossible just to be sitting down and doing nothing, you know. You're going to find yourself doing something else. And he chooses to do another passion of his. So, yeah, I mean, fair enough to that. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, and based on that point, then Milan is definitely in the right place for him. Guys, we got Armand in the house.
We've got
an interesting comment from Youth Booth saying Man City are now likely to face punishment through relegation due to illegal relations with the UAE betting, according, I think, to The Athletic.
Wait, man, I think
I haven't seen this anywhere else. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I was watching a Man United related show probably 30 minutes ago. And I saw someone saying something in the comments, but I couldn't really find proper information about it. But I think it's definitely something that needs to be looked into. But yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see what happens with regards to that. And I was just trying to look now if I can see anything like on Sky Sports or and so on. You know, I mean, I don't even know who's the Man City correspondent from The Athletic. You know, would have been obviously easier to find it there. But yeah, whatever that is, Man City will get away with it. Man City will pay for the best lawyers in the world. That's how they got away with it.
They'll never get relegated.
Ever.
Long gone are the times of where Juventus got relegated and had to make a comeback. Long gone are those days. I know this is the Premier League we're talking about, but like you said, they can get any lawyer they want and get it out of any hole possible. Pums is asking, what is happening at Everton? Guys, a lot of movement happening at Everton. And like I said to you guys, I said Benitez loves a bargain buy. Not just Townsend. They're also signing Andy Gray. I think it is Andy Gray. I think that's his first name. No, Gray, the guy, the player that wasn't
Gray. Yeah, from Leverkusen.
The one was playing for
Leverkusen. Yeah.
Where's he playing?
Leverkusen.
Was he not playing in the Premier League at some point?
He was.
Then they got rid of him in January. He signed an 18-month contract with Leverkusen. And now I think it's 1.2 million pounds.
That guy's top.
Yeah, now he's going to Everton. Benitez, this is a classic Benitez signing. Something under the 5 million mark. A player that kind of had his moment and now he's hiding. And now it's a player that he can use.
He's got the potential, I think, to add 100%. Some value to Everton. If you add him and Andrew Townsend on the bench and so on, you know what I mean? And then obviously the Sigurdsson rumors are circulating that a 31-year-old man at Everton has been arrested for sexual offences, child sexual offences. Obviously, they didn't name him, but there's only 31-year-old players at Everton, and obviously the rumour mill is that it's Sigurdsson, and yeah, that's unacceptable. Similar to, I guess, what happened to Johnson. Don't say Downing.
Sorry, I always get confused between Downing and Johnson. The one played for City, the one played for Liverpool. But Yeah.
So Johnson, you remember something similar happened to him, and he was obviously convicted and everything. If whatever the investigations are, if he's found guilty, he must serve his time. And it's disgusting. And Goal Lounge TV doesn't tolerate any of that.
None of it. Yeah. Thank you, Selo.
I see Yannick Bolasie, I don't know, does anyone know what's happening to that guy? I see he's coming back from his loan.
That guy's been on loan, bro.
Shame, man. that guy's been in the championship for so long.
Moyes Keane has also come back. I don't know if he'll leave again, but he's come back from loan.
But he's a good player because he had some good moments with PSG. He had some good moments with PSG. It's just that PSG do want to sign him, but Everton want, I think, 40 million pounds. And I think PSG, you know, people say that PSG's got a lot of money to spend. PSG have signed three players on a free transfer.
Yeah, you know, no chance.
They signed Donnarumma, they've signed Wijnaldum, and they've signed Ramos. Three players on a free transfer. So they're not spending money. Yes, they're spending money on their salaries, but not spending money on bringing them in. So I think... I think Premier League clubs like to, you know, hike the price up for unnecessarily sometimes.
It's because they've got the money. But I think the sort of plays that PSG are doing are the right ones considering the climate of the world at the moment. And it's not that they haven't signed poor players. They've got Gini Wijnaldum in, they've got Ramos in, and then they've obviously signed youngest ever, the first time ever goalkeeper to win player of the tournament of the Euros. So... Yeah, Donnarumma.
Yep.
But about this, guys, I want to talk about from players. You know, obviously, you spoke quite loudly, Wanga, about Gini leaving Liverpool and Liverpool letting a player like that go. A player who was entering his 30s. I think he's only 30 now. Liverpool are currently having the same issues with Jordan Henderson in terms of renewing a contract. They do not want to give him what he wants. And apparently, all of this does not involve Jurgen Klopp. His hands are tied. And it just seems like as soon as the player is hitting 30, the higher ups are going, no, we don't want to give these players what they want. But the irony behind all of this was the amount they spent on bringing in Thiago. So when I'm looking at it, I'm like, we lose a player like Gini on a free. We spent the money on a 30-year-old in Thiago, who I don't think is offering us the same value in comparison to what Gini was offering the squad, in comparison to what Thiago was offering. Now we might lose 100%. The captain at the end
club
of the season
captain.
Because of the same club captain because of the same reason. So now I'm scratching my head. I'm going, and now PSG are lurking. I think a Spanish
Atletico.
So it's a curious one, especially when you consider. I think the timing of all of it's a bit wrong. I think they've gone to the point where they've gone, you know, we've had success with these players, and now it's time to rebuild. But I'm like, whoa, you've still got 2-3 more years you can milk out of them. And also, Klopp's only got 2 more seasons left before he leaves. I think his contract is until 2023. So,
yeah,
I mean, these guys are playing
you
games.
You can't do that, man. I think, Wonga?
Yes. No, saying for me, I think, yeah, you need to – I can understand what Liverpool's trying to do. In terms of, obviously, you know, they're having a system that, you know, the club now has a system to sort of keep, you know, the players young and fresh, you know. And obviously, so you're not left with the squad that does everything and then now you're left with another like 7 or 4 years to rebuild. So you're always on top. But I think they certainly need to leave it just a bit there because it's an obvious thing. You can see that, I mean, Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum still offer to the club. And like Claudio's saying now, then you go and spend something like bringing Thiago in for that amount of money and then not giving Gini Wijnaldum and Henderson a deal that they want. That's surely your rules are conflicting each other. And then you got someone like Milner, who's 37, and yeah, I don't know how old he is now, but
he's 6 years older, so he's going on 37. He is going on 37.
He can play, but the question is, does he bring for me the same value as Wijnaldum and Henderson? Jordan Henderson. Goodness me, no ways. I thought they would make him an exception for him even.
Guys, when Lionel Messi, for instance, is getting a 5-year contract at the age of 34, right? And your Cristiano Ronaldo's are getting contracts of 3 years at Juventus when he joined them, you know, at the age of, I think it was 34 or 33, whatever. I'm not saying Henderson's appeal as a person is the same, but as a sports person, the body, you know what I mean? You can play for so long if you look after your body. And I don't know, Claudio will obviously shed more light, but I think Henderson looks after himself. I think he can definitely be a player who can consistently play at the top level in the Premier League up until the age of 35, easily. And he's what? He's 30, 31, Claudio? Well, how old is he now?
31.
So give him a 3-year contract. Give him a 3-year contract until 34, and then that's cool. You know what I mean? Then he can go join Sunderland after he leaves Liverpool. You know what I mean? Or go to the States or something like that. But to not even consider offering him a contract, and as you said, you guys have signed someone who's the same age as him, Thiago Alcantara, who still needed to acclimatize. You only saw the best when Fabinho moved to the midfield, and when he got a bit more settled. That's when you only got to see the best of Thiago, you know.
Yeah.
But it's stupid, man. You know what I mean? I'm flabbergasted. I can't believe that you guys would allow a second key midfielder to leave, you know.
And this is where
he gets, what he's done.
Yeah, but that's where it gets tricky now. It's two players. Oh, look, I think you'll obviously stay for the season. But now it's a player in Gini who is part of the core fabric of what Jurgen Klopp is building at Liverpool or built at Liverpool to get the success. Now you've let a player like that go. Now another player in Henderson. No, you can't be doing things. But interesting fact, I know that Celo, you're saying, you know, he can probably go until 35. But I think they're also looking at his past 2-3 seasons where he has been picking up a lot of injuries and he hasn't just been missing one or two games. He's been missing more than that. So I think it's one of those where you're going, okay.
That makes sense.
It also goes back to the reason as to why Alex Ferguson didn't sign him in the first place. Did you know that? They were tracking him, Man United.
Yeah,
he did say
he's, they checked his knees or something like that.
The way in which he runs isn't.
Oh, he runs.
It's not best geared. And they said down the line he's going to have knee injuries. And look, He's in his 30s, and this is where he's picking it up, which is quite interesting. Not saying that's a reason, but I mean, they these guys love data. They love data. So, I mean, the owners of the guys from Moneyball. So that's what they'll probably be looking at. Also, Arman coming in with an interesting question saying, Henderson led the captain's movement against the Super League. Is this a conspiracy? Let's get him out. The Super League can happen with a quieter captain. Interesting that.
Liverpool. Yeah, man. So are they going to do this? Are they going to do the same thing to Salah and Mane when they get to this age?
Yeah, you see. Salah's there, isn't he? Salah is 92. I think Mane is also 92.
It's touch and go, this whole Salah Mane thing. It's like a season left. I think Salah would want to leave. And if COVID wasn't around, financial crisis wasn't around, because Liverpool are going to ask whatever. If Salah wants to leave, they're going to try and milk whatever they can get. We know how they deal with transfers. So I think if there wasn't an issue with Corona, Salah would probably definitely be knocking the door to leave this season, in my opinion. I think Mane is another player where he's just getting.
They're both born in 92, Mane and Salah. Yeah. They're both born in 92, so 29 years old. So I think, that is... it obviously depends on how many more years they got on their contracts, but yeah.
They're looking sharp. But I can understand...
Yeah.
So I was saying I can understand from your point of view, Claudio, where you say that it's fair. Yeah, I mean, if you're saying the guys got injured and what, then, you know, you've got to also take that into account. If you can... You know, you can say like, "Look, it's probably going to happen again." I think then, Liverpool do have sort of like a foot to stand on in terms of maybe not offering him, you know, a lengthy contract. Yeah, that lengthy contract probably that he wants. I can understand from that point of view. Okay.
Pumalani asking any news on Kane, and this is an interesting one because the only news I'm hearing from the Spurs, camp right now is that they're close to a swap with the Sevilla boy called Jill, where they want to send Lamela the other way and pay, I think, 20 odd million pounds or something it is for
Lamela.
Correct. Yeah.
The last time I heard about Kane, was it Nuno Santos, the coach? He said, they want Kane to stay. As far as I understand it, is that he's firm that believer that Kane will stay. That's him saying it, not Kane. So that's all I've heard. Nothing. It's been quiet now.
I've heard that he's lining it up. He wants to still go to Man City. That's what I've read. That's where I see. Like, and he's delaying going back. Look, obviously he's entitled to having his break after the Euros, and he's probably going to milk that. But the Nuno Espirito Santo saying he has no doubt of the player leaving. But again, that's the new manager saying he doesn't want him out. I'm just excited.
But that's, man, it's so tough. It's so tricky for Kane. Obviously, Kane needs to have showdown talks with Levy. You know what I mean? I think if Levy has promised him to potentially leave at some point in time, then that they need to have that discussion. But I do think Kane will stay for another season and then leave. So it will probably be one of those saying, okay, cool, you can stay one more season. And then you can leave the next season type of thing, you know. I think that's probably what's going to happen. And I don't think he'll leave right now. But we'll see what happens. As you said, you'll probably milk this whole thing and try to take as long a break as he can. And as you said, they signed that Brian Gill, who's going to be playing at the Olympics. So we'll see how he fares.
Yeah, but what is known, though, is that Man City have had a £100 million bid rejected by Spurs. So that's also something now. Kane's gone on holiday, knowing that this has happened, knowing that it's still in the pipeline, and I think it'll get to the point where it will have to come from him saying he wants to leave. And then it's the interesting question is, where do the fans sit on that? If their star player does say, listen, guys, I want to bounce. Like, you go, oh, that's fine. I mean, I'll never forget Torres handing that transfer request a couple of hours before deadline day going to Chelsea. I'll never forget that. I'm like, this dick.
Harry Kane, I mean, he's been banging them in left, right, and center for Spurs, and he hasn't won anything, you know. If we had a player like that at Arsenal, and I would have said the same thing. If he left, I would have been sour, but, you know, at the end of the day, you can't complain about what he's done, you know.
So I don't think they'll hate him. So you say he deserves a move?
Yeah, he deserves it. Like for him, he's done everything he can do for the club. I mean, he was top assistant, top goal scorer last season. What more could he have done to help Spurs finish in a good position last season? What more could he have done as a person? There's nothing more he could have done. Okay, maybe he could have saved, gone in the goals and saved a couple of goals. But that's not his job. Yeah, so,
no, no, the man was, he was really doing, like, he was even saving things off the line. He was. I know you were joking about him being in goals, but he was. He was defending deep in his own box. He was picking up the ball. He was doing it all for
Aman is talking there about the Sancho announcement. Hey, man, listen. I was watching an interview with Fabrizio Romano yesterday, and he said that there's just some lingering paperwork that needs to be sorted out, and then the announcement will come thereafter. But yeah, they took the whole excitement out of that deal. It would have been perfect if they are now if because obviously the kid came out last week Wednesday, I think it was, and then it would have been great if that Friday. That's when you get the announcement to say, you know, here is Jadon Sancho, you know what I mean? Or they're probably still maybe calling Cavani and saying, hey, Cavani, can Sancho take the number 7? You know what I mean? But yeah, we'll see what happens, man. But the excitement's gone. Man United fans have moved on from Jadon Sancho, and they're focusing on Rafael Varane right now. About that. So we're not looking at Jadon anymore. We're looking forward.
Hey. Hey, Man United are on form in the transfer window there, bro.
Well, hey, they've had a couple of bad windows to learn from, let's be honest. It's about time they get it right.
We didn't sign anyone last season, basically, guys. We signed Donny van de Beek and Telles, guys, and Cavani. Cool, we signed those three players, but honestly, only Cavani was a starter. The other two weren't starting, you know what I mean? So they were basically just adding numbers, but then Solskjaer didn't even use them or rotate them.
Telles is quality, yeah.
You know, Telles is quality, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, he lost his place in the Brazil squad as a result.
Question though about Lingard. Apparently, he's part of the plans moving forward now. He's that little man, you know, the West Ham stint has done enough to keep him in there.
Just no, so he can man.
Eat that bench.
Listen, I love Jesse Lingard. I follow him on Instagram. Love him to bits. And I'll still follow him after he leaves, whatever. And I'll still support him. But he needs to go. We need to cut.
Yeah.
We need to cut. We need to. Bah. We need to, hey, how's it? Arjun. Stop
Arjun! Welcome. Stop it, please. Thank you for joining us. We thought it was a bit quiet in the comment section. I know Aman was doing the thing. Pooms is doing the thing. But now we got the three musketeers doing the themes. Thank you,
gentlemen. and there's Dia as well. There's Dia as well. How's it, Dia?
Yo, Dia. Dia, thank you for joining us.
What does I say now? Oh, about Jesse. Sorry, Jesse Lingard. Yeah, Jesse Lingard. Love him to bits, but I feel that we should definitely get £20 million for him and let him go to West Ham so he can be a starter as well, man. I think he deserves to be in a team, in a top 10 team, being a starter. And at Man United, he won't be a starter. He'll be a bench player. But I hope it's mind games from Solskjaer, because also previously with Alexis Sanchez and Romelu Lukaku, he said that these players are part of his plans, and then they ended up leaving. So I hope it's one of those things where he's saying that. But West Ham needs to come up with the money, man. £20 million, £25 million. Let him go. Let him go. There's some youngsters that are going to be waiting for their opportunities, and they won't get opportunities because Jesse Lingard is there as a squad player.
Wonga Denga, I haven't seen anything to do with James Madison moving to Arsenal. Is this the thing?
Me too.
Guys, do you guys know this too. Thing? I don't know.
Pooms created it today.
Apparently Wonga knows this. Let's see. Wonga, let's hear it.
No. I'm just saying the fact that Pooms, I also have seen just browsing past this James Madison thing, but literally nothing official has been said in terms of that James Madison. I know Arsenal have gone for a lot of midfielders, but I don't think any of them were English guys. James Madison, quality player, but yeah, I also heard about it someplace, but. What did I hear about it?
Do we think, though, if he moves to Arsenal, would this be a player that would elevate an Arsenal? Would it be a player that I don't know. Like, that would fit in immediately. Obviously, he's English, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he might have the personality to take it by the balls and say, listen, I'm an Arsenal player. Give me that shirt. I want to be the main man for the club. But do you think he's got the quality to help them to the next level again?
Look, he's a good player. I think that's the most important thing. And from the other stuff I've seen, in terms of him working on himself and his game, I think, yeah, definitely he could fit into Arsenal. I think Arsenal's been missing that for a long time. And I mean, the players, like, yeah, look, Xhaka did what he could do he did what he could do. But I just think Arsenal need players that can do more and do more in a team. And I think James Maddison could offer that. Yeah, but you'd have to pay for that. But I mean, if you've got 50 million for Ben White, then I'm pretty sure you can get a James Maddison.
The 160.
Yeah, minimum. They're asking 60 for Tielemans. Tielemans to Liverpool. Apparently, he was pushing for that, and they said no, 60 million. Liverpool said, no, we're not playing that game.
Exactly.
The way I see Arsenal. So I was just saying, the way I see Arsenal, they're making their signings now. I think Ben White's probably the only guy they're gonna get over 50, but the rest of the guys they're getting now, it looks like they're gonna go get below 30. I don't think they're gonna make another big money move, Arsenal. But again, look, we do need something in defense. That's true.
But so also, if you guys let go of Eddie Nketiah to Palace, and let Vieira get him for a decent price, because I know obviously you guys are trying to get, I think 25 plus 5, whereas I think
for Nketiah, the one Palace, 30.
Yeah, 25 plus 5. Yeah, 25 upfront and add-ons 5, whereas I think Palace are offering 20. Just 20.
That's a lot.
But you guys want more than that.
So look, I mean, if we can go down, and I'll just tell you quickly, Arsenal know that Xhaka's out. Apparently,
Roma thing is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Xhaka. There just looks like there's a few things they need to sort out. But Xhaka wants to go. Roma wants him. Mourinho wants him, and they pushing to finalize that deal. Neto from Barcelona. It looks like Arsenal and Tottenham. Between Arsenal and Tottenham, he'll have to.
Backup keeper.
Yeah, backup keeper. It looks like he might go to either one or two. Those are possibilities. The Locatelli thing, it stands like this.
He wants Arsenal to go to Juventus, but Arsenal.
Yes. Yeah, Arsenal put down 34.
Yeah, he's like, I'd rather stay another season at Sassuolo, then go to Arsenal.
Exactly. It's funny. Yeah, and Sassuolo, it looks like Juventus haven't even put a bid down. Juventus want to do a bid swap. They want to swap. I don't think Juve have the money. They don't have the money for that. And then, what else was there? Okay, so we got Nuno Tavares is a good signing. And then, yeah, that was it. And then the one thing that was puzzling is, and for Arsenal, is that even Arteta said it, they need a mixture of senior people in the team and different types of leaders. And they're signing youngsters. And I think
the Arsenal only one they can get, to be honest, at the moment.
Yeah, we are going to Aubameyang and Lacazette. Are not leaders they're gonna win us a cup. Yes, they're older than the guys, they have more experience, they know a bit more. I don't see them helping Arsenal to win those tough games. You know, I can't see them pushing at our team through to finish where you would want to finish. You know. So I think that's the thing that Arsenal is missing in all of this, in all their signings, is a leader. And that's what I would like to see.
Well,
but it's not going to happen.
Funny you say that, because the young boy that they have signed, the 17-year-old that they have signed, they say is quite a leader, the one that they got from Belgium.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. But I'm talking about, like, for now. Maybe
Bigonga
in the future.
From
and that's if he stays also. What if he does so well? Arsenal are not doing so great. And then, boom, they come Madrid, they come Barcelona, you know, and PSG. So that's what I'm saying. We need someone now. Liverpool are getting rid of the leader. We need one.
Yeah, and I think right now you guys are going to be dependent on a player like Saka. He's going to be having to be carrying that team. That's slightly worrying from your side.
He's going to have to carry that team a lot. I think you guys are all going to miss some experience. If you're losing Saka, and Bellerin, those are leaders. You know, they may have not been the best players, but they are leaders within the squad. You definitely need to reinforce and get other leaders. You know, I mean, I think are you getting rid of your Brazilians as well? That's a question. Are you getting rid of David Luiz and Willian? They are also experienced players. So if you get rid of them and get rid of Bellerin and Xhaka, that's four experienced players leaving the club all at once. Which I for one, I would rather keep Bellerin, keep him in the squad. He's been in the team for quite a while, and at least he can still add some value. Whereas David Luiz and Willian, I think you can let go of them.
Bellerin wanted to go, so that's the only difficulty. Arsenal wanted to keep him, but he said, nah, he said, hey, bro, I'm ready to bounce. So they said, okay, sure.
Can you go back to that comment of Mkhitaryan and Smalling, man? That thing is funny because Jose Mourinho posted a picture of, you know, it's crazy how like life will like take you to places, and the picture has Mkhitaryan and Smalling in it, type of thing, you know, that they meet again type of thing. And it's like, he is right. Those guys weren't playing much under Mourinho, but now they meet again. So let's see if they can build another partnership with Mourinho. And Mourinho is obviously trying to sign some Premier League players that he's had before. He's just signed Rui Patricio, and trying to get Xhaka. And yeah, we'll see what else he.
I think Mourinho's approach is going to be a different one, though. It has to be a different one. I think in the past he was always, you know, he went for the players he wanted. He was given the cash and he got what he wanted. And I think these last couple of years at Spurs, at United, has been very difficult for him. So now it's going, okay, instead of building the ideal team that I want, it's going, how can I build a team, or how can I manage the team that I have? And I think that's the difference. And him going to Roma with these two players, these players have been instrumental for Roma. So it's a different scenario. You can't exactly come in there and say, hey, Smalling, go eat that bench again. Even though now the fans are going, listen, this is a key player for us. You can't just be doing that. Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Also, his career is at an interesting crossroads now, Mourinho.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to do something.
He has to do it. It's almost like a make or break situation for him in terms of club football. You know, he's left the Premier League after coaching three teams in the Premier League, where he's had success with one team, which is Chelsea, and then the other two teams. I would say Man United.
He had success at United. It's not the success that you wanted, you know?
Exactly. He wanted a Premier League, you know, and he won a Europa League and came second. At Tottenham, he was definitely not successful at all. So I think at Roma, the first job is to try and get them into that top four. Do a similar thing to what AC Milan have done now by getting themselves back into the Champions League. So it's going to be tricky for him.
But this is also an interesting comment, Jeba Aljun, saying you can see him becoming the Portuguese national team. I mean, let's say there's two ways this can play out. He does well at Roma, or meets the expectation, not necessarily excels, just meets the expectation. He's got another move somewhere else. If he doesn't do so well, where does he go from there? Does he go back to Portugal for the national side? I think they would take him in a heartbeat, but I think that would bore him. Or does he just go back to the Primeira Liga there? You know, that's the question for his career at the moment. Interesting time.
Nah, he has to make it work at Roma. I think for the longevity of his career, or he's going to end up being one of those managers that are going to end up now coaching a number 10 team, you know, in a league, for instance. Like now coming back to Premier League to coach a West Ham, for instance, you know, or coach a Newcastle. You know, he's going to be a Benitez, you know what I mean? Benitez used to be a Valencia, Real Madrid, even coached Chelsea for a little bit, and Liverpool. You know what I mean? He coached top four or five teams in their respective leagues. And now he's coaching a team that's, let's say, top eight, rather. So he might end up being that kind of coach, but we'll see.
Guys, so Brentford have signed, made their first signing of the season. This is news for Armand. A player called Frank Onyeka, I think he's a Nigerian player, is waiting for his work permit. He's a striker.
From Midtjylland. I was actually before the show, Prince actually broke that story on Twitter. I saw that he broke it. He loves praising the fact that Nigerian players are playing in the top five leagues in Europe, which is true. And he just said that there's five Nigerian players at Watford. two at Leicester, and then now there's one at Brentford as well. And then there's other Nigerian players littered all over the other leagues. You know, one of the strikers plays for Napoli. Their highest their record signing there. So it's great to see the Nigerian players getting moves to top five leagues. I wish we could have that as South Africa, because our players are leaving top five leagues and not going into them.
That's so true. Interesting. I mean, before we move on, there's one thing I want to cover, and there's one player in particular we need to talk about. When we're looking at Man United, there's right back being linked with Man United, Kieran Trippier, 30 old. I know, we got Liverpool getting rid of their players in their 30s because they're saying, they're surplus to requirements. And in this case, Man United are going, we've got Wan-Bissaka, but we want to go and get Kieran Trippier. Is this wise, guys? Is this worth the cash?
So Solo, you actually should speak about it. It's his team.
We must always have differing views, you know.
Okay, so look, if I look at what Man United are doing, I think Solo will agree with me on this. Man United are definitely the one to win the league, they want the league, and then they want to obviously compete for. They want to obviously, I'm assuming Champions League. And the Premier League are what they're gunning for. And in order to do that, they need depth in the squad. We've seen that from Man City. We've seen that from Liverpool. You're going to need squad depth. It's a given. And you can see, look at the players they've signed. If you look at Man United's team now, it's definitely better than the team that they had last year. Now they can literally swap a good player for a good player in many positions. Not all of them, but many positions. And I think that also helps. It would also help if they're able to do that up front. Obviously in the three different areas, up front, in the midfield, and in the defense. Mm-hmm. So if you've got someone like Trippier, Wan-Bissaka covering him, I don't know if Telles stays is still there. You've got Luke Shaw there as well. You've just signed Sancho. You've got Rashford who's playing on the wing. You've got Greenwood who's also playing that side. And they probably match, I think they switched them now and then around those positions. It's they literally, if you can just look at what they're doing, it's squad depth. And I think that's the right approach. You're gonna need a big squad to play all those competitions.
Yeah, no, the most important thing is we've been crying for quite a number of years from Man United's point of view is that we don't have the squad depth. You know, I mean, I think Wan-Bissaka played probably the most minutes last season. His minutes in top five in Europe, actually. He's the minutes that he played in the whole of Europe. You know what I mean? So it shows you how much we relied on him, and also the fact that he didn't get many injuries. So I think having a player like Trippier who can definitely challenge him for the right back position, and also push him and also improve his game. I think that is one thing that Solskjaer wants to do. He's done it on the left hand side where you've got a Alex Telles who is four or five years older than Luke Shaw, and has pushed Luke Shaw to up his game. You know, because there is a challenge. There is someone who can take your position, not just some guy who's up and coming or whatever. You know, so someone who can actually take your position and say, hey, let's challenge for this role. It's me against you. Who's going to take the position? So I think they just want to do the same that they've done on the left, do the same on the right, and build that depth. We want to compete with your Man Cities and so on, you know. So and not just have 14 players to rely on. We want to rely on a good 20 players for our team. So I definitely think it's a good signing, but not at the price that Atletico want. Atletico want something north of £30 million. If we can get him for less, if we get
that's
him for,
what I'm saying. Hey,
that's ridiculous. I would never sanction such a signing. I think Man United is looking more in the region of £20 million pounds and less. That's what they would probably want.
One more question for the United front before we speak about Chelsea, largely because we have to touch on Chelsea because I feel like they're going to spend some money. They're going to be some big players for next season. But the United thing, the McFred combination, is this an order that we are still going to be placing in McDonald's, or is Ole Gunnar going to ship that meal out and the special's done?
Hey, man. That 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 that
that combo meal.
Yeah, we can't have that combination. Meal, yeah. We definitely can't have that combination. Just merely on the fact that we need to get Pogba playing in the middle. So that in itself already makes Solskjaer to decide between Fred and McTominay. So it's either or if we don't get another defensive midfielder, because those two are not defensive midfielders. They play much better with a defensive midfielder for the national teams and so on. So I definitely feel that if we can get a defensive midfielder, that will be the first prize after getting a centre back. But if we don't get a defensive mid, he will have to decide on either of them to play with to play with Pogba in the middle. Arjun doesn't want to see Pogba in the middle. I want to see Pogba in the middle. But yeah, because I think he's wasted out on the wing. And definitely, with us signing Jadon Sancho, there's no need for a Pogba to be playing out wide. Pogba's more influential and more he can add more to the game in the midfield. You know what I mean? I think he can make his passes when you're up on the left hand side. You don't have opportunity to make your passes. So I think he's very much wasted. We can't waste his talent out wide. So a good defensive mid playing with him will definitely help him a lot.
Quick yes or no answer. That's all. Don't give me explanations. Will Pogba reach the same level he reached for France in the Euros? Yes or no?
Yes, he's done it already before at Man United.
Yes, I think so. Yes, especially with the signs that are coming. Yes.
In that case, then we might have a real challenge on our hands. But let's talk about another possible challenger. We know that the blue team of London are after Haaland. Haaland, will they get this across the line? Will they make this happen? Also, Declan Rice, another player that they're looking at. They are there and they're not afraid to be spending money. We know this.
I heard they're also after Lewandowski as well. Apparently, oh, guys, am I still there?
Yeah, we're here.
What the flip? Okay.
Wonga, you're still here, man.
The message came on. I tried to move the message. I moved my whole screen out of the way. Anyways, I don't know if they'll sell Haaland. It looks like Dortmund are playing games there. I think they're definitely asking if they're going to want more. And I think it's just that one thing that's going to carry on until the end of the transfer window and won't happen. That's what it looks like to me. Because I heard them also trying to go for Lewandowski. So we'll see. But if they were to get either one of them, they would be... you're going to get all those opportunities that Werner missed, and maybe you actually play Werner down the wing, and you play one of those guys in the middle. But really, no chance is a threat. Yeah, if they get one of those guys, I think they'll be very, very, very dangerous. That's what I think.
I think
it's going to be a tough league next season.
Yeah, I think getting a hold of Dortmund is going to be getting Haaland from Dortmund is going to be tricky, because they're going to be asking for big money. And the thing is, do Chelsea want to gamble on that now or wait next season? And if Lewandowski is available, and it seems like he might be wanting to, or he might be open to the fact that he wants to leave Bayern Munich, then why not gamble on a player like that? And I think Chelsea find themselves in a similar situation when United find themselves. They want to be challenging this season. They don't want to be waiting three, four, five, four seasons, you know? So, yeah, that's my perspective. Settle?
Yeah, no, I think Chelsea... They do want Haaland, man. I think with the Haaland situation, it's one of those where if you try to get him this season, right, you're basically just going to negotiate with Dortmund for whatever price Dortmund wants, right? So then it's basically can be a one-team race, you know, in that way. Mm-hmm. But then Dortmund don't want to let go of another star player after Sancho left. So then you have to wait for a season later where the release clause is 75 million. Next season the release clause 75 that's been installed in his contract. So then next year the competition is stiffer because everyone has 75, you know, Real Madrid, Barca, even Juventus can bring up the 75 all of a sudden, you know what I mean? You know, your Chelsea, Man City, Man United, all these clubs, your Liverpool, whoever is interested in him can come up with the 75 million to sign him, because then it's more. It's a release clause, you know what I mean? It's not at Dortmund's discretion. So I think that's why it's a bit tricky, you know, with that. And I feel that you need to figure out the best way possible. But I just want to, Arjun is making some points here in the comments. I can see he's hopping on the Pogba issue and so on. I think, yeah, it'll always be differing views. And it's okay. We need to have different views about a player. I said what I said. You know, you can't be putting a player of Pogba's talents out on the wing. You need to make it work. In every team, they play their best players in their best positions. So don't play a player like himself out on the wing. But yeah, let's see what happens with Chelsea. They're trying to sell Kurt Zouma. I think they're trying to get some money for him. So they can sign some more players. They've already gotten rid of a player that was playing in the Championship on loan. Listen, Chelsea's got the biggest squad in the world, guys. They could literally generate £200 million by selling 10 players that we don't really know of or that are on the fringes. You know what I mean? I think they sold him for £18 million to Crystal Palace. I tried to figure out who the guy was, and apparently he was playing at Swansea on loan. But yeah, I think definitely. Chelsea will be making some signings. I think they definitely need, but Declan Rice at £100 million, that is madness.
Madness.
But they do need some firepower up front, Chelsea. You can't rely on Timo Werner and Tammy Abraham as understudy.
But if they go big, this transfer window and they spend this sort of cash, then you can't see them spending the next window or the window after that. It's one of those where they've spent big on young players. They have to make it work. But yeah, the Haaland thing, he's not leaving. Like you said, Celo, you've hit the nail on the head there. Sancho leaving, they're not going to lose another big player like that. They don't do that. Yeah, they don't do that. They work wise there in Germany by Dortmund's side. I do want to touch on one club that aside. Oh, firstly, before I say anything else, Andy Carroll has been released from Newcastle, so that's big news for Nick. It seems like he's a free agent, so that's an interesting one. Why not, Armand? Why don't you speak to Brentford? Get the big man in there.
You're laughing, you know what happened.
what a madness! Imagine, man. Imagine Andy Carroll at Brentford. Listen, guys. You know Brentford's model is it doesn't allow for them to sign Andy Carroll, man. Their model is, you know, it's very organized. You know, I mean, I think you can even see that the Brentford players that have actually gone on to play in the Premier League, you know, your Benrahma, Ollie Watkins, Neil Maupay, you know, I mean, they've had some decent players playing at Brentford in the Championship, and then they've gone on to play in the Premier League. So I think they will probably continue to sign those type of players, and obviously signing a player from their sister club in Denmark. And the guy they got, and then obviously Aman mentioned some other guy they got from Celtic as well, or they're looking to get from Celtic. I don't know what position he plays, but Aman will probably he would be awesome, but he doesn't fit our business model. You see, Aman is same wavelength, same wavelength as me.
Yeah, the guy that you're talking about is Christopher Ayer. Brentford medical after the B signed Frank from Michelin.
That's the guy, That's the guy.
So they've signed him. They've got their man. Guys, Wolves. I want to talk about Wolves quickly. New manager, obviously, Nuno goes to Spurs. They bring in another Portuguese guy, Bruno Lage. This guy used to be a Benfica Academy coach. He also won the league with Benfica. He's now coming, inheriting the Portuguese B side. They've just signed Trincão, the player from Barcelona, who Barcelona signed. He had a decent spell. He was coming off the bench, but great return. What do we think is going to happen with Wolves in this sort of situation? I know the manager in particular is more possession-based sort of a manager. I know Nick isn't much of an advocate for what Wolves are doing at the moment, but questions here. Is this going to be a Wolves team that will improve on last season, or will it be a Wolves team that might regress?
Ish, man. It's interesting.
I don't know.
Man, I think first and foremost, as you said, they got the new manager, another Portuguese guy. Listen, at the end of the day, Wolves do have good players. I think that's the first and foremost, first thing we need to look at, right? They got Podence, they got Neto, and then now they've got Trincao. You know, very good players, and then they've got Traore. You know what I mean? Very good players on the wings. Jimenez, let's see if he can get back to his form. He played on the weekend, his first game. That would be great if he can play. And I don't know if William Jose is going to come back after his loan. But they've got the ingredients to continue to still be a top 10, 12 team in the Premier League. You know, I think obviously Leeds took their position as a top 10 team last season. But I think they need to definitely try and get back into the top 10 because I feel that they've got the quality to be in the top 10. They've got good players, Roman Saiz and so on, and other players. They obviously just need to sign a goalkeeper now. They actually tried to sign Dean Henderson from Man United on loan. That was rejected by Man United. I would have given them for 2 years. I would have given them for 2 years, and then Dean Henderson can come back and be the number one after 2 years or something like that, you know. But yeah,
exactly.
I think it'll be interesting to see what Wolves does. You are right. It could be can fall apart. You know, definitely a change of manager. Someone with a different philosophy can definitely derail things from where they were.
I think the manager in question that they have chosen is one that can work with younger players. And I think that's key to what they're doing. They want to buy young and then they want to sell. They want to almost, it's no different to what other guys are doing, but they still want to get the results. So I think from that perspective, he's the right manager. Issue being, this is the Premier League. It's very unwelcoming. And you have to hit the ground running. If you don't, your ideas can fall apart very fast. I'm just excited in the player Trincao. I think he's a young player. He went to Barcelona. I think Barcelona are nowhere near in a state to develop younger players. I think if this was a Barcelona side that were 5 years ago, even 7 years ago, this player stays there. There's no ways they let him go. But obviously, right now it's a fire sale. They have to make up the books.
So it's a loan with an option to buy or
option to buy. Yeah,
option to buy. Okay, I think I think it's I mean that's the problem with. But Barca have too many issues that I think needs a show in itself to get through. But I think if you guys went to Barca now with an offer of £100 million for Frankie de Jong, you'll get him definitely. They'll sell him.
Yeah,
they'll it's too much. We have to take the offer.
He's right.
But
they wouldn't even think about it. Pack his bags for him.
But let's talk about that though. Current players at Barcelona, who would you from that squad bring to your team? I mean, Wanga Dengo, I think. Yeah,
Frankie de Jong, bro. Frankie de Jong is the guy. I would definitely bring in. Like, you know, if Pogba's leaving, and if we can get like a £50 million for Pogba, I would definitely get Frankie de Jong for £100 million. Then they've got a good right back in Sergino Dest. He's 21 years old. Got a big future ahead of him. Then they've got a good goalkeeper as well. They've got a very good goalkeeper as well. Then Pedri, young player of the year young player of the tournament at the Euros. He's only 18 years old. He's amazing. He didn't misplace a pass in the 90 minutes against Italy. That's another great player. I'll definitely take a steal. And then Ansu Fati coming back from an injury. I think that's also another great player that you can definitely try and steal from Barca. But yeah, I think those are the players, the ones we were mentioning now, I think they're the untouchables at Barca right now. And they're the ones that they're gonna try and not sell. They're gonna try and sell the guys who are a bit older, who can they can get maybe like a £20 million for.
Anyone brave enough to predict where Coutinho will land up? Because if that man plays 10 more games for Barcelona, they pay Liverpool another £20 million.
I hear Arsenal are interested in him. That's all I heard. Didn't you have an offer? I just heard that Arsenal are interested in him. And it's not the first time.
Does that excite you?
Yeah, look, Coutinho's quality. I can't deny it. He's a quality player. And he's also different. I mean, the players that Arsenal have now, but it's just everything straightforward. And you need that bit of unpredictability in your players. And I think, I definitely like a player like Coutinho in our team.
I think he'd do well. I think he'd do well. The only problem with him is, you know, there's two things when you're looking at a player. And when I was looking at the Trincão sort of highlights, you know, When you look at him, you always look at what a player can do. So you look at the numbers, you look at the history, and you know, okay, the player is capable of X. But then what's very important to look at is what the player did last. So you know, can what you're getting, is it what you're getting now, or is it something that you have to hope you can get, if that makes sense?
No,
so
true.
With Coutinho right now, he's had an awful... that looks, honestly, shot his career in the foot. That's what he's done.
It's a gamble. I think it's a gamble Arsenal can afford to take. That's the truth.
Also, I think it's a thing where you probably get him on loan, for instance. You get a Coutinho on loan. He's basically could be an Ozil replacement. So you get him with a loan, with an option to buy for maybe, let's say, 30 million pounds, I guess. Option to buy at 30. And let's see how it goes for a season. If it goes well, then you buy him at 30 million pounds and then boss will be happy type of thing, you know. So I think it's one of those where it is a worthwhile exercise because Odegaard has gone back to Madrid. Ceballos has gone back to Madrid as well. And Ozil left. So you guys have never really replaced Ozil. So you guys can probably do it. But yeah, the problem is with Barca is everyone's wages are ridiculous. Griezmann is earning 800,000 a week. Sorry, 800,000 a week, which is, I don't know what. But
didn't they cut it?
Listen, he's still on the contract that he got. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. We say 800. That's ridiculous.
800,000, yeah. So
listen, Darren's saying Wonga, Arsenal did a good thing in bringing Ben White in. And you know what I like about Ben White? He's at the right age where if he hits the ground running, he can be a good leader for you guys. And we were speaking about the fact that Arsenal need leaders. Right, guys. We're pretty much wrapping up the show. And our final thoughts before we head. And today, we were going to touch a little bit on the Olympics, but I suppose it became a transfer talk session. So we'll take that. Final thoughts, gentlemen. Also, welcome, Darren. Man. I mean, you came in late. Welcome.
How's it, Darren? At least you guys got Junior Firpo from the fire sale. They got Junior Firpo from the fire sale at Barca. I think that is a decent signing. Your left back was struggling, and Alioski left. So definitely. But yeah, I think let's see what happens this week in terms of transfers and so on. Rumors are that Man United will put in a bid for Rafael Varane this week. We just need to agree a fee with Madrid. Madrid are looking between 50 and 60 million euros, which is probably between 42 and 50 million pounds. And if we can get that over the line, that would be amazing. A centre back partner for Maguire.
Slap head there. He's going to do the thing. Because Lindelof must move now.
Lindelof is too soft. So it would be a great partnership for Maguire. And hey, man, I'm looking forward to it if it can happen. Let's see what else can happen in the transfer window. I think transfer windows are never perfect. And some teams are very quiet right now, so they're probably plotting. So a Chelsea and a Liverpool are probably plotting, and a Man City is plotting.
Yeah, first and foremost, Liverpool on agenda on that list is get rid of players. They have got rid of Marco Grujic today. They sold him. They went back to Porto on permanent. So they're going to be raising that money. Nat Phillips is going to be the next one going. And then once they've sold X amount, then they'll sign one or two players. That's what they'll do. And it's going to come late. It's going to be touch and go for them, I think.
Yeah, because you also need a second option to Bobby Firmino, man. I think you guys need to get a second option to Bobby and then your midfield. Those are the two key positions, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least Liverpool, they're taking out, but they bring in, you know. So, And they're following the laws, and that's what got them the title. So
I like
can't complain about it as well as from a fan.
Yeah, is that your final thoughts?
See what happens.
Where's Phil Jones, guys? The man is wanted. He is missing. He was wanted by Puma
London. He hasn't been spotted yet at Man United. We also don't know where he is, but guys, that guy. But guys, let me just touch on Phil Jones just for 2 seconds.
No problem.
Solskjaer was surprised to find out that Phil Jones has a 4-year contract, got a 4-year contract. Because what happened was Solskjaer came in as an interim manager, right? And as he came in as an interim manager in October or November, right? Phil Jones got a 4-year contract in December. So the interim manager wasn't consulted about the contract for Phil Jones, right? They gave him a 4-year contract. And Solskjaer was like, apparently now he came out that he was shocked that Phil Jones got a 4-year contract in 2019. So he's like, why did you guys give this guy a 4-year contract? Like, I don't understand why, you know, type of thing. So he's obviously like, oh, shit, I have to now. This is a guy who's in my team, but I actually don't need this guy. You know what I mean? And they're paying him a salary and so on. So he needs to go. Any team that's out there in the Premier League, guys, if you guys want to take Phil Jones on loan, we'll pay half his wages. You guys pay half his wages. And
I think
it's
more
actually...
Brentford.
Exactly, guys. Take him, no, guys. No. We pay half.
Brentford are better than that. Newcastle. I think you'd do well.
Newcastle, yeah. We pay half his wages. You pay half his wages, and let's see if he can get his career back going.
Oh, look at that. Darren wants him at Leeds. Darren wants him at Leeds. He's already signing his manager mode as a League One. Ah, there we go, Darren. Good. How much did you pay there? Did you get him on a free transfer? Yeah, you need to let us know there. Wonga, your final thoughts. Final thoughts, sir.
Now, I mean, look. The transfer window is interesting. I just think, I won't lie to you. The way I see Man United approaching this, I can see them winning many things next season. Signing a big player, like they're going big. I mean, Rafael Varane was, I think that kind of showed intent. Pretty much now I'm going to have to watch these guys pick up the league or something. But yeah, they're definitely going to win something next season, I think.
Right.
As for my
note,
team, I don't know.
And for your team, yeah? Is that it? You got no idea?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm saying my team, I don't know. That's it.
No. Tricky time to be an Arsenal fan. Very, very tricky. Oh, look, yeah, Darren didn't get him in a free transfer in his manager mode. Look at that.
Of course, guys. Of course, he got him a free transfer. What else? How else would you get Phil Jones, guys?
Jeepers. Okay. Gentlemen, it's been a great chat. I'll see you guys on Thursday for pre-match meeties. Same time, same place. And everyone who was on or joined us today from Pums, Aman, Dia, of course, Arjun, and Darren, thanks for making a late appearance, nonetheless appearance, and we will take it. And anyone else who was here that we missed, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And Silo, if you don't know what to be
cool.
Be cool.
Cheers, guys.